Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We're beginning about 6 lines from the top with the Mishnah. We're learning today for Refuah Shleima, for Esther Sora, Baschaya Pesel, so Shar Chal Yisosh, Shav Refuah Shleima. Okay, the Mishnah begins, dealing now with additional laws of tying, of being kosher on Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us, Koshrin Deli Bepiskyo. One is permitted to go and tie a bucket that you're going to lower into a well, so you can tie the bucket to the top of the well with a piskia. Piskia, we learned in the previous shiur, was a garter of some sort, a girdle of some sort, that the women would wear. So this is no concern that you're going to leave it here, and that's why the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to use such a piskia, because Rashi says, api habor, you're putting it on the top of the bar, and lo mevato lehosim, you're not going to leave it there, because the woman needs this piskia, this girdle. She won't forget it there. They won't leave it there unintentionally and become a permanent knot. Avalo b'chevel, but the Tanakhama says you can't use a rope because the rope, you're going to be mevatel there. As Rashi says, the mevatel lehosim, you're going to leave it there, and this will be v'hevi kesher shokayama, sharei kosher v'tali shum tomid. It won't be there permanently, and that will be an issur of tying on Shabbos. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Review the disagrees, review the mate, review that says you're allowed to do this. Tomorrow we'll explain exactly what he's referring to, that he's allowed to go and use this rope. We'll see that it's talking about a rope of a weaver, which again is a specialized type of rope that the person won't forget because the weaver needs it. The Mishnah continues and says, Klalamar Yehuda, Yehuda says a general rule, Kol kesher she'eino shel kayama ein chayav lav. If it's not a permanent knot, so then it's not an issa daraisa. What is this referring to? So Tosos brings down in the top Tosos, Tema, Hechakoi, on what is Rav Yehuda going on? If he's going on the previous statement that was made, that he was a matir the chevel, so it doesn't make any sense. I amilso kamaisa. If it's going on the previous statement, hosam matir legamri. There he said it's heter gomer to use a rope, and this new statement now, v'achitani ein chayoven alov, it means not an issa daraisa, mashmo hoyisurika, that there's a din derabanan. Kedidiyak ashas lel, as we've already learned previously, this type of a diyak. When it says, in this situation, that there's no iser, it doesn't mean no iser at all. It means no iser deraisa. So Rev Yehuda would be contradicting himself. So this doesn't make any sense. So therefore, Tosus gives two answers. Yesh lomar, dochi kamer. This is what Rev Yehuda is coming to teach us now. Kol kasher she'eino shel kayama. If it's not a permanent knot, ein chayavim alav. Implication being, hoshel kayama, if it is a permanent knot, chayavim alav, vafilu aniva. And as we'll see in the Gemara, Rev Yehuda Shita is even a bow is considered a permanent knot, as opposed to lafuki be the rabbanon dem raniva lav haynuk shira. The rabbanon say that that's not an issa daraisa. So this statement is coming to teach us about a bow, according to the first pshat and Tosos. Alternatively, inami amai de ketani bereisha. It's that what we learned in yesterday's mishnah. We said ein chayavim aleim koi, that Rav Yehuda said, if you can, Rav Meir said, if you can untie it with one hand, and on that Rav Yehuda is saying it all depends on whether it's a permanent knot or not. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, Chevel Demai, what type of a rope are we talking about in the Reisha of our Mishnah? Ilema Chevel Diyama, if we're talking about a regular rope, Rav Yehuda Mati, would Rav Yehuda allow a regular rope to be used? Kesher Shekayamo. Everybody would agree that if you're taking a rope, that you're going to leave it there, that's a permanent knot. So that clearly, Rav Yehuda can't be saying when he's Mati that he's talking about a regular rope. Doesn't make any sense. So as I answered, Elo Chevel Degard, we're talking about a special type of a weaver's rope. The weaver is going to need this rope for his weaving, and therefore, there is no concern that he's going to leave it there permanently, and therefore, Rav Yehuda says it's mutter to do this. Gemara continues to tell us, L'meimra, this implies from our Mishnah, the Rabbanan Savri Gazrinon Chevel Gardi, the Gardi, Atu Chevel Diyama. If Rav Yehuda is talking about Chevel Gardi, so too is the Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama is saying you can't use even a Chevel Gardi, and the concern is, if you allow a chevel gardi, you may come to use a chevel diyama, a regular rope, and that would be a real issa daraisa. So therefore, the rabbis are the ones that are concerned about making such a gzeira, chevel gardi, or to chevel diyama, and Rav Yehuda is not. Rav Yehuda sover lo gazrinan. So the rabbis are the ones that are concerned about a gzeira in our Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda is not. But Raminu, but we'll have a braisa that seems to say the exact opposite. Chevel deli shenifsak. If you have the rope that's attached to a bucket and the rope breaks, so lo ye kosho. The opinion of the Tanakhama is you're not allowed to go and tie it. That would be making a knot. That would be a permanent knot. However, ela onvo, but you can make a bow. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Korech alav punda opiskia. You're allowed to go and take a punda. Rashi explains that punda is Ezor Halul, a hollow type of a belt, or Piskia that we had previously, there's this girdle. So that you're allowed to go and tie it with, Ubavad Shlo Yanvenu, but you're not allowed to make a bow. So you're only allowed to wrap it around. They said the word tie a minute ago, it was Korech, you wrap it around, you're not allowed to tie it, and you're not even allowed to make a bow. So what do you see over here? That Rabbi Yehuda is the one that is concerned that if we allow you to make a bow, you may come to tie it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that makes the gzera, and the Chacham said, no problem, you're allowed to go and make a bow. We're not concerned if we allow you to make a bow, that you come to tie it. So it seems that they've switched around, that Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir one with the gzera, and the Chacham are not. So the Gemara concludes, kasha the Yehuda, the Yehuda, and kasha the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon. We have a seeming contradiction between the opinion of Yehuda in our Mishnah where he's not goes there, and the opinion of the Braisa where he is goes there, and the opinion of the Chacham in the Mishnah where they are goes there, and the opinion of the Chacham in the Braisa where they're not goes there. So what's going on? So Gemara explains the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon lo kasha. The opinion of the Chacham in the Mishnah doesn't contradict the opinion of the Chacham in the Braisa. Why? Chevel bechevel michlef. In the Mishnah, the Rabbi said, "Listen, if we allow you to do the chevel legardi, you may come to use a chevel di alma." Well, that's both of them are ropes, and it's very easy to mistake them. Therefore, the rabbis would go there. However, in the Braisa, the rabbi said you can make an aniva, aniva bekshira lo michalfa. The rabbis were not concerned that if we allow you to make a bow, that you'll come to make a knot. That they weren't concerned about. But that's why there's no kasha, the rabban and the rabban. Likewise, the Yehuda, the Yehuda lo kasha, and the Mishnah of Yehuda is not concerned. He says, I'll let you use a chevel gardi, and it won't lead to using a chevel diyamu, because I don't make zeris. However, in the Braisa, he seems to do this. That's not a contradiction. In the Braisa, it wasn't because he says, if we let you make a bow, you may come to make a knot, and therefore, I won't let you make a bow. That wasn't a gzera, no. He holds, the sheet is, El aniva gufok shiri. He has the sheet that a bow is a knot. It's not that you come to make a knot if we let you make a bow. No, the bow itself is osur. And that's what he said in Tosus. That was the teretz that Tosus gave, that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Aniva in the first teretz that Tosus gave. Okay, so there's no contradictions between Rabbi Yehuda being Machmir and then Mekel, and the Chacham being Machmir and then Mekel, so to say. They each have a reason for their shitas. Gemara now tells us, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Uchiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Now, this is the girsa that we have. On the side, it says that it should be Amar Uchiya, Amar Rav Yochanan. In any event, whichever one of these Amaroyim said it, Rabbi Abba said it in their name. And he said, maybe Odom Chevel Mitoch Beis. So a person is allowed to take a rope from his house, the Kosho Bepara Ubeavis, and tie one end to the cow and one end to the feeding trough where the cow is going to eat from in order to keep the cow attached to the feeding trough. Now, that's what Rabbi Abba said, either in the name of Rechia Barashim Arab or in the name of Rechia Omar of Yochanan. And this is questioned. Esir of Acharicha, Rabbi Acharicha, who was he? Who? Rabbi Acha Bar Papa, said to Rabbi Abba. He questioned the statement that Rabbi Abba made, and he said as follows. The Braisa teaches us the Chevel Sheba Evus Kosho Bepara. If you have a rope that you want to attach to a cow, so if it was already attached to the Evus, then Kosho Bepara, then you can attach it to the cow. And vice versa. Bishop Parah, if it was already attached to the cow, kosher be'evus. Then you can attach it to the parah. Because it's already attached to one of them. So we're not concerned that you're going to have a permanent knot. Obuvad, shlo yovi chevel mitoch beis. But you're not allowed to take a rope from your house, v'yikshob parah be'evus, and attach it to both of them. There we are concerned you're going to have a permanent knot. So the Braisa goes against what Rabbi Acha said. Now, even though he said in the name of Rav, or he said in the name of Yochanan, they're Amorayim, and they can't go against the Braisa. So what is Rabbi Abba going to answer? Someone says, no, Hosam Chevel D'Alma. The Braisa, which says that you're not allowed to take it out, is talking about Chevel D'Alma. That is a regular rope. And there, we're concerned that maybe if you attach it to both of them, you're going to leave one side tied permanently, because you don't need to undo both of them. You'll either undo the cow's side and the cow can go away, or you'll undo the trough side and the cow can walk away without being attached to the trough. So therefore, with a chevel diyama, the Bryce says, no, we have to be concerned that you'll leave one side attached as a permanent knot. However, what we were talking about before was Rabbi Abba's statement, Hocha Chevel Degardi. He's talking about a weaver's rope. There's no way the weaver's going to let his rope stay out there all day, so he's going to take it back, and therefore it won't become to be a permanent knot. Rashi explains that now, since we talked a little bit about the Chevel Degardi, so we'll now make another statement regarding a weaver, a gardi. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmur. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Mishmur, Kli Kivoi. If you have these utensils that a weaver uses, Rashi says Kli Orgim, these utensils that a weaver uses, but I did Ayri B'Chevel Degardi, Noka L'Hocha. And that's what Rashi says. And since we were talking about the weavers, so we'll talk about another din of the weavers. So he says, these weavers' utensils, Mutal Tatal Meshavas, they're not muktzah on Shabbos, they can be used on Shabbos. Rashi explains, we're talking here, l'shnei hakonim l'tashmish acher, using two of the rods over here for some other purpose, and therefore he's telling us, v'ashminan, the ein gadi makbid alem, the gadi's not makbid on them, and therefore, v'lo hei melachtun l'isser. The simple understanding of Rashi would be that it's therefore not a kli shemelachtun l'isser, and therefore it's not muktzah can be used. Others disagree. Rekiv Eger over here brings down, in the Gilyan Hashas, says it doesn't make sense, because it's still a klip shemalachtan l'isser. So how does it help you to say that he doesn't mind? So he says it's not something over here that's muktzah machmas l'isser kiss. You might have thought this is a very expensive tool and he wouldn't let you use it for anything else. So kamash v'lan, that it's not muktzah machmas l'isser kiss. It's just a klip shemalachtan l'isser, and therefore you can use it if you need it for tzoruch gufo or makoma. So in any event, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that these clay kivayi, certain parts of the gardi, of the weaver's utensils, are allowed to be used. On this, we have a question. By me, Rabbi Yehuda, they asked Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the halach in the following situation? Kovod ha'elyon, mekovod ha'tachton ma'hu. Other parts of the weaving process, of the loom, the heavy beams, are you allowed to use them on Shabbos or not? Do we say ma'hu? Rashi explains. Do we say mi amrinon aide de yakire, since they're very expensive, lochazu stamtayu litashmu shachrina? He's not going to let it be used for something else. And therefore, it's a dover shemalachtu l'isser. Again, we have the same lashon as before. We could argue that it's either pure kli shemalachtu l'isser, and therefore it's only going to be mutter l'tzor gufo l'mukomo, or we could say that it's muktzah machmas klisor and kiss, and therefore it's not allowed to use to anything. So this was the question that they asked from Rabbi Yehuda, but he didn't know the answer. In the lav, sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. The Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't really sure of the answer. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shul, Rav Nachman said in the Shul, the following statement that answered this question. Kli kivoye, the regular weaving tools that we spoke about, mutar l'talchum Shabbos, that you can definitely move on Shabbos. And even, afilu kovod ha'elyon v'kovod ha'tachton, those also allowed to be used. So, in other words, he answered the question that was asked of Rabbi Yehuda. And he added on, avalo es hamudim, but not the big beams that are part of the weaving process, a part of the loom. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, so Rav questions this. He says to Rav Nachman, Maishna amudim lo, how come you're letting us use the kovod ha'elyon and kovod ha'tachton, but you're not letting us use the amudim? What's the difference? They're both big beams, or big items, so why can you use one and not the other? So he says, Elam, if you're telling me the Kavi Gumos, because these Amudim made holes in the ground, and that's why you're not allowed to do it. That's not the reason. Gumos, we may look Kahavya. The holes are already there. They were put in there before Shabbos, and now you're just removing them. That's not a problem of digging, Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah and Kilayim, it told us that if a person wants to go and put the turnips that he has, or the radishes that he has, into the ground, it's not going to be a problem. Hatomein Lefes Utsnonus, if you put into the ground, they were already picked previously. Now you want to put them back into the ground to preserve them. So you put these lefes, which are turnips, it's known as the radishes, underneath a vine, tachas hagefen. So you have several potential problems over here. None of them are real. So im miktsas ola megulin, as long as some of the leaves of the turnip or the radishes are still above the ground, in other words, you can easily pull them out, eino chosheish, you don't have to be concerned for any of the following concerns. Number one, lo mishum kilayim. There's not a problem over here that you're planting vegetables underneath the vine. It's not a problem with kilayim. Likewise, v'lo mishum shvias, there is no concern over here if this was a shmita year that you're planting. It's not considered planting. It's not considered for kilayim planting. It's not considered for shvias planting. V'lo mishum maaser, and likewise, you don't have to be maaser them. You don't have to take off trumas and maasers to them because they're not really planted. And in addition, v'nitolim b'shabbos, and on Shabbos, you're allowed to remove them from the ground. It's not called kotzer. It's not called choresh. You're not doing anything over here that's an issur on Shabbos because they're not really attached to the ground. Now, there's a hole that's being made over here. How are you allowed to do this? Aren't you making a hole? So you see clearly that the making of the hole when you pull out the turnip or the radish is not a problem. So Gemara says, you know, there is something to what you're saying. However, it depends. Basada, in the field where this is taking place, it's underneath the vine, lo osi lashuri gumos. There is no concern about the hole, because so you have a hole in the ground. The person doesn't care that he has holes in his ground outside, in his field. There's holes all over the place. So therefore, it's not a problem. However, in the case of the house, the amudim are in the house. Where does the weaver weave? He weaves in the house. When you pull out these amudim, now you're going to have left these holes in the middle of his living room floor. He's going to come to fill them in. He's going to smooth them out, and that would be a problem of bone, and therefore, you can't do this. That's why Rav Nachman and Meshmul added on the amudim you're not allowed to do this for. Now the Gemara asks a question. Rav Yochanan asked, from Rav Yehuda bar Eloi, what's the following halacha? Klei kivoi, the utensils of the weaver. Now, we had given the previous discussion about this was according to different opinions. So here, he asks from Rav Yehuda bar Levi, klei kivoi, the utensil that the weaver uses, for example, could go in kovod elyon, kovod atachton, these big beams that are being used. Can you carry them on Shabbos? This is the question that he asked from Yehuda. He wasn't sure. This is the question that he asked to Shmuel. And he said, yes, you're allowed to use it. They're not muktzah. So here, Rav Yehuda bar Levi answered, Amalei, ein metaltli, you're not allowed to move them. Why not? Lefi, my tam, what's the reasoning? Lefi she'ein nitolin, because they're normally not moved, even on the weekdays. Rashi says, af b'chol, people don't move them, they call them, because they're too big. He'll call komalachtan l'kach. Therefore, if you don't move it on a weekday, it's considered, so to say, not something that's movable. Therefore, on Shabbos, it's also considered not something that's movable, and therefore, they are muktzah. So we have the whole gamut of opinions over here for this type of implement known as the COVID Ha'elyon v'Kovod Atachton. Rav Yehuda wasn't sure. Shmuel, or Rav Nachman of Shmuel said yes, and Rav Yehuda bar Levi said no. Next Mishnah. Now we're leaving the knotting and we're going to folding. Now what's the problem with folding? So folding is going to be a tolda of cleaning the clothing, because by folding it, you're putting it back into its pristine shape. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us, Mekaplin and Sakelin, you are allowed to go and fold clothing for Shabbos usage. As Rashi says, the clothing is going to be even allowed to be folded several times, Kedei lachzor velovshon bo bayom, in order to wear them on Shabbos. So you're allowed to fold your clothing. Mekaplin and Sakelin, afilu arba v'chamishim pom, you can fold them on Friday night for Shabbos morning for Shabbos afternoon to go to shul for mincha. Not a problem, you can do this all the time, as long as it's for Shabbos usage. And likewise, umetzin es hamitos, you can make your bed, melele Shabbos l'Shabbos, on Friday night, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you're allowed to make your bed, because you want to take a shluf on Shabbos the afternoon. So as long as it's for Shabbos purposes, you're allowed to go and do this. However, havlomi Shabbos l'motzi Shabbos, but you can't do this on Shabbos for motzi Shabbos, that's not allowed. That would be meichin on Shabbos to chol, which is not allowed to be done. Mishnah continues, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, mekaplin es hakelim, umetzin es hamitos, miyom kippur l'Shabbos. He says, on a weekday, you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos. And he says Yom Kippur, in comparison to Shabbos, is like a weekday. So therefore, one could fold up clothing, or one could make the beds on Yom Kippur. Let's say Yom Kippur was Friday. Nowadays, the calendar never can have that. But here we're talking about when Yom Kippur was Friday. If you have the Edom coming and saying that Rosh Chodesh, it comes out on a certain day. So the calendar could come out when you have Edei Re'iyah telling you when they saw the moon, that Friday could be Yom Kippur. But the rabbis made it that we shouldn't have Friday Yom Kippur, because it would be too difficult to go 2 days in a row without any cooking. In any event, so you'd be allowed over here to fold up your clothing or make your beds on Friday Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Or likewise, the Chelve Shabbos, craving Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur was Sunday. Again, in our calendar, that doesn't happen, but it could theoretically happen. So the Chelev that was not burnt on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Kippur, i.e. at night, on Motzei Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, you'd be allowed to do this. But the other way around, no. Avalosho Yom HaKippurim b'Shabbos, but you wouldn't be allowed to go and burn the Chelev of Yom Kippur that was on a Friday on Shabbos, that you wouldn't be able to do. Because Yom Kippur is not as strict as Shabbos, and therefore you can't do something on Shabbos that was could have been done on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Shel Shabbos Kreivim Yom Kippurim, Lo Shel Yom Kippurim Kreivim Shabbos. He says the Kedusha of Yom Kippur is also very good, that you shouldn't do something for Shabbos for Yom Kippur or for Shabbos. Neither way is allowed. Gemara starts and says, Armudvei Rav Yannai, they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yannai, Lo Shanu El Abiyod Mechad. When did we say you're allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos for Shabbos usage? That's only when an individual, single person, does it himself. However, Avo B'Shnei B'Nei Yodim Lo, but if two people are doing it, you get a much better folding. That's much more of a perfect way of being mekapalit to go and fix the garment. In some, they can stretch it out, they can fold it perfectly. Therefore, two people can't do this. One person could. And even when we said one person could do it, when we said that one person can do it, we only said lo'amaron el b'chadoshim, when it's new clothing, so the folding isn't so essential. It still has its creases. Abul b'yishanim, old clothing, worn clothing, which needs to really be done very well in order to get it back to its pristine, original type of creases, so that you're not allowed to do. Abul b'yishanim lo. And even when we said the chadashim, you're allowed to do this nam, we only said it lomorin el bilavonim, only with certain type of white clothing. Now, obviously, it's not the color of the clothing. It must be the way that the garments were made. The white clothing was made in a certain way that if you didn't fold it, it wouldn't be so terrible. So therefore, you're allowed to fold it because you're not doing such an improvement on it. But with colored garments, again, somehow it must be something about the colored garments that if you fold them, that really improves them. Rashi says, kipflun misaknon, that really improves it. So look, that you're not allowed to do. And furthermore, and we also said that you're allowed to do this if you have no other clothes to go and wear that Shabbos. You have other clothing to put on Shabbos. So then, no, then don't fold the clothing, even in that situation. We learned in a Braisa, in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, they wouldn't even fold their white clothing, which we said you're allowed to do. Why? They're a rich family. They were the house of the Nasi, and therefore they had other clothing to wear, and therefore they didn't go and fold their white garments. Now, once we started talking about over here changing garments on Shabbos, so we go into a whole discussion from a famous pasuk in Yeshaya that we're going to get to in a moment. Amar Bahuna, im yeshlo lahachlif, if a person has clothing to wear on Shabbos that are different than his weekday clothing, yachlif, lekovet Shabbos, you should wear nicer clothing. However, if he only has one garment, they were very poor people often, and they only had one garment, so what should you do? You have to wear your weekday garment even on Shabbos, so at least make something different about it. Yishal shel bevagadav. The way they used to work on a weekday, because they didn't want to get the bottom of their garments dirty with whatever work they were doing or torn, so they would roll them up, and they would wear them like shorts. So on Shabbos, you should let it roll down like a chosh of a person. A chosh of a person who didn't go out to work in the fields, he could wear long pants. Other people would wear shorts because they didn't want to get their pants dirty. So Maskev Rav Safra says, wait a second, this is an arrogant thing to do, to roll your pants down. How do we let this person do this? Shmuel says, no, it's not arrogant in this situation. He's clearly doing the Kovet Shabbos, keeping the Kol Yom HaLekovet. Every day he doesn't wear it down. The weekdays he wears it rolled up. And now, Vayidna, who the Kovet, and now the Kovet Shabbos, he goes to do this and rolls them down, so it's clear. Lo Mischazik Yerom Mesuch. He's not doing this for arrogance to show he's a chash of a guy. He's doing it to honor the Shabbos. And now we have a famous pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, V'chibadeto, read the whole pasuk first, V'chibadeto me'asos d'rochecha, mimitzo chavtzecha v'daber dover. What does this pasuk mean? We'll dash in each piece. So the first part, V'chibadeto me'asos d'rochecha, we dash in the word V'chibadeto, you shall honor it. What does that mean? Shloye, honor the Shabbos, shloye ma'bushcha, shol Shabbos, ma'bush shalcho. Shouldn't wear the same clothing on Shabbos. People should have special clothing for Shabbos. That's the way that we honor the Shabbos. Furthermore, this is perfectly in accord with the statement that Rav Yochanan made. B'chiyod Rav Yochanan kor limane mechabdusai. He called his clothing that which honors me. So when you wear clothing, that honors the Shabbos, if you wear nice clothing. Then it says, me'asos d'rochecho, by not doing things in the normal way, what does that mean? Shelo yehei hilucho shel Shabbos ki hilucho shecho. You shouldn't even walk on Shabbos like you walk on a weekday. Tomorrow we'll explain what that means in a second. Then it says, m'mtzol chavtzucho, what you do on Shabbos should be different. Chafotzecha asurim. The things that you want to do on Shabbos, you shouldn't do. Only chafzei shemayim mutarim. But you should do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You should do things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. Don't do work. Go and do work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't do your own personal work. Do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. And finally, the pasuk concludes with Daber Dover. What does that mean? So we darshan each of the words Daber Dover. So the first one is Shlo Yedibrucha Shal Shabbos Kedibrucha Shal Chol. Even your sprach, even your speech that you have on Shabbos should be different than the speech that you have on a weekday. Rashi explains, Rashi says you shouldn't talk about business dealings on Shabbos. You shouldn't talk about calculations. Tosa says that he disagrees. He says that's not what it's talking about, because that's what Mitzol Chetzecha means. Don't talk about your stuff. Talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stuff. So obviously don't do your business. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explains Daber Dabar. He says, Kedama Vikra Rabba, Rashim Boyachoi, Havalei Ime Safta, he had an elderly grandmother, Daba Mishtai Saga, that she was talking. And Amala Ima, he said, mother, grandmother, Ima, he said, Shabtahu, it's Shabbos, and Shoska. And she silenced herself. She realized it was Shabbos, and she shouldn't be talking. Stam talking, you shouldn't do. Mashva Shein Kol Kach Ledabe B'Shabbos Kama B'Chol. Even your, how much you talk on Shabbos, let the silence of Shabbos, so to say, be the way that you do. You don't just stam have conversations that have no purpose. He brings down the Yerushalmi, B'Torah Chetiru B'Shelah Shalom Shabbos. Even say hello to somebody, how you doing? They allowed you to do that somewhat begrudgingly. In other words, on Shabbos, there were people that would only talk Lashon Kodesh on Shabbos. There were people that would only talk Torah on Shabbos. They wouldn't waste a minute of the Shabbos talking about anything secular. In any event, that's the first pshat over here. He diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol, and then the Bach adds daber davar. The second thing is dibur is also, however, hiru is mutter. It only is speaking that's not allowed, but you can have machshavos. We have in the zmiros hirhurin mutarin, right? In the Mayididos. So it says hirhurin are mutarin. You'll have to think certain things on a weekday, on Shabbos, that are weekday thinkings, but you shouldn't speak them out on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, this is pretty easy to understand. B'shlamakul l'chai, most of them are easily understood. But walking, elish lo yeh hilucha shel Shabbos, hilucha shel chol, mai, how do you walk differently on Shabbos? It's the same two legs. How do you walk differently on Shabbos than on a weekday? So that's two terutzim. Ki yodem ha-Rav Huna Rav Rav. The answer, the first one we give, the Rav Huna Rav Rav said, other say, v'ami lo ha-Rav Rav Abba, ha-Rav Rav Huna. It was the Rabbi Abba in the name of Rav Huna. Whoever it was that said this, ha-Rav Mahalik v'Shabbos v'poga b'yamis mayim. If you're walking on Shabbos and you meet up with some sort of an Amma, an Amma means like a Amma-wide stream of water. So you have, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had the Amma, which was the water. So it was a six tefach, an Amma-wide stream of water. So if you see this on Shabbos, what should you do? Im yachol laniach es raglo rishona kodim shiyata gishnia. If you can put your foot down on the other side of the stream when your back foot is still on the ground, in other words, you're not jumping, you're walking over it, so then you're allowed to walk over it. Mutter. However, if you have to lift up your back foot as you put your front foot down, in other words, you're jumping, then imlav also, you're not allowed to do that. However, this is problematic. Masik l'rova, Rova says, I don't understand. Hey, Chliyabit, what's a guy supposed to do? You're telling me over here, Leikav, he should walk all the way around. He can't do it without jumping over, so he should walk all the way around. Kamafish bilucha, what type of covered Shabbos is that you're making him walk a longer distance on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Liavar, should he walk through it? You're not letting him jump over it. Should he walk through it? Zimin mitvason, money, maya. Sometimes his clothing is going to get wet, and what's he going to do? He's going to squeeze it out. For osil deschita, he's going to come to squeeze it out, and that would cause it to be a much worse isser. So Rava says, I don't like this answer that you gave, that it means that you should walk over a stream in a careful way or walk around it. So I don't like that answer. Ella Baha, he says, Kivin the Loev Shar Shapra Dami. He says, if you don't have a choice, you can't walk around the stream, you can't walk through the stream, so then you can jump over it. That's not a problem. Shapra Dami. That's not talking over here. Hiluchach on Shabbos should be different. So what is the answer then? What is your Shabbos walking different than on a weekday? Eli says, Kidiboy, Minei, Rebbe, may Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, and he asked the following, Malu so psia gas b'Shabbos, you're allowed to run, you can take big steps on Shabbos. So Rebbe Shmuel tells him, Omalo, v'chi b'chol mi hutra, you're asking me on Shabbos, are you allowed to do this on a weekday? Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi's shita was that you shouldn't even run on a weekday, except the bar mitzvah. Shani Omer, psia gas, and tell us, echa mechamesh mi yos mi mor eno shalodom, that running somehow reduces your vision by 1/500th. And how do you restore that? When you go and drink the wine on Friday night, others bring down on Havdalah as well, that this restores your eyesight. And this is also, some have the minhag. Rashi says that you drink it, others have that you put some of the wine in your eyes, and that restores it. And that's why some people have the minhag, that they put a little drop of the wine in their eyes. In any event, that's what he said. Therefore, the difference is the hiluchach, day b'Shabbos, that your Shabbos walking should be different than a weekday walking, is this running. On a weekday, you're allowed to run under certain situations. It may cause some damage to your eyes, but there's a takana for it by putting the wine in your eye or drinking the wine. On Shabbos, however, you shouldn't even do that, except if it's a dvar mitzvah. Like I said, the person's late for shul, he's allowed technically to run to shul. The person should try not to be late to shul and doesn't have to take advantage of this kula. They ask the following shayla, boy, my name is Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Another question that Rebbe asked from his Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, ma'o lechol adoma b'Shabbos? This is a very strange question. Can you go and eat dirt on Shabbos? Rashi explains that there was a certain type of dirt over here that somehow they thought had certain medicinal properties to it. He says, the question that Rebbe was asking, Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, is mi gazru bo mishum shchika samonim kisharifu alo, that this dirt somehow they thought had medicinal properties to it, and are you allowed to eat this dirt on Shabbos, or does it fall under the gzeru of shchika samon, that the rabbi said, don't do any medicine for a chol sheim bo sakana, because of this gzeru shchika samonim. That was the question. Amalo. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi gives a similar answer. That's why Mestama, these two Gemaras are here together, because he gave him a very similar answer. You're asking me on Shabbos. You're allowed to do this on a weekday. You ask me on Shabbos. You can't even do it on a weekday. Shani Omer, because I hold Af Bechol Osim and Neshu Malka. Because on a weekday, it's also not allowed because it's dangerous. You shouldn't do this. Right? She says, maybe the holy. It brings you sickness. And therefore, you can't do this on a weekday as well. If anybody eats the dirt from Bavel, it's as if you're eating the body, the flesh of your parents, Rahman al-Islam. Rashi says, Shemesu Shom Begola, that they died in Chutz Laretz, eating the dirt in Bavel, so their body is decomposed into that dirt. Others say, it's as if you're eating shkotzim remosim. Why would there be shkotzim remosim over there? Because this comes from the days of the Mabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu erased all the living creatures from the world. So they all went down to Bavel, as we'll see. Why is Bavel called Shinar? They all moved to that place. They all ended up there. Bubble is a low-lying land, so all the bodies are there. So therefore, all the Yakum, the Shkotzim Remosim, and everything is over there. And therefore, if you eat the dirt and bubble, it's like you're eating Shkotzim Remosim. We'll say, it's not. We'll get to that in a moment. Rabbi Yochanan, says, Lomanik Roshmo Metzula. Why is another name for bubble known as the Metzula, the deep? Shekol Meisei Mabul Nitztalu Lusham. That all the people from the Mabul, they ended up dying. They all rolled over there. They died and ended up at the bottom because bubble is a low-lying land. So that was where all the bodies got dumped. Now the Gemara goes back and quotes what it said above. It's like you're eating Shkotzim Rosim. Where it says, Havadai Ismachui, Ismachui. As Rashi says, that's not true. The all the Shkotzim Remosim certainly got disintegrated with the Mabul, and why are you saying that they actually were eating them? They didn't. Lo nasu ofer. None of them became dirt. Someone says, Amre, kivin de Malki. So the rabbis put this in. They know people wouldn't eat Shkotzim Remosim, so they said eating this dirt is like eating Shkotzim Remosim because they didn't want people to eat this dirt. Gozri Rabban, and the rabbis made Xerovia, Doho Ahu Gavro, the Ocho Gagishta, because once was a person that ate this dirt, and the ochel tachle, and then he ate kress afterwards, and somehow in his body the kotchle tachle belibe umis, the dirt somehow, Rashi explains that somehow nilketu hashachlayim badoma, somehow this kress gathered into the dirt that he had in his stomach, begodlu b'neiav, and it grew inside his stomach, the noga belibo, and eventually encroached upon his heart and he died. So therefore the rabbi said over here, don't eat the dirt of bubble. It's like eating shkotzim remosim, and therefore people will stay away from it. Now the Gemara says, "V'rachatzda v'sachta v'samta simusayich." We were talking about nice Shabbos clothing, so we'll have another idea of nice Shabbos clothing or nice garments. So here we're quoting a pasuk from Rus, where Boaz is going to meet up with Rus. So Naomi tells Rus, before you meet up with him, go and wash yourself, besacht, anoint yourself, and put on nice clothing. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, says, Elu begodim shel Shabbos. Oh, put on nice clothing means put on your Shabbos clothing. So that's what she was told to do. Now, as an aside over here, the Gemara says, Tein lechocham v'yach kamot. We quote the famous pasuk from Mishlei that a smart person, if you give him wisdom, he'll get wiser. You give wisdom to somebody who's smart, and they can use it. So Amar Rabbi Elazar says about this, this is a reference, this pasuk in Mishlei is a reference to something smart that both Zurus HaMoaviyah Ushmuel HaRamasi did. They're both very wise people. They were given something and they became even better from it. They became even wiser from it. What is that? So first we have Rus. Rus, by Rus it says, Dilu Nami Karmala. Nami told Rus, do the following. V'rachatzta, wash yourself. V'sachta, anoint yourself. And then V'samta Simlu Sayacholayach, then get dressed. V'yaradat the Goren. And then go down to the Goren. The Ilu b'didoksiv, but Rus herself did it the opposite way. Fateret ha-goren. She first went to the Goren. And then, over there, Vahadar, she went, Vatas, Kholashiv, Sivata, Chamosaden. She did the Rechitza, the Sicha, and getting on the nice clothing. Why did she switch it around? So Rashi says that in the Goren, once she was there, Socha, Velavashta, Simolos, knows, so people shouldn't see her walking around all dressed up. The Yom Huzona here, and Rahman al-Islam, they're going to say that she's out to do something illicit, that she's a prostitute, Rahman al-Islam. So therefore, she first went to the Goren, and then she prepared herself. So again, Tein l'chocha v'yach kamot, she was very smart. Likewise, Shmuel, Dilu, Eli Karmelei, Shmuel heard a voice, and he didn't know it was Nevuah. So he asked Eli, what is this voice? Eli said, if you hear it again, say the following. So he told him, Shechov, sit over here, and if you hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch again, say, speak Hashem, I'm your servant and I'm listening. But that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel wasn't convinced that he was going to hear HaKadosh Baruch. He was very humble. It says by Shmuel himself, Hashem came to call upon him. Bepam, Shmuel, Shmuel, just like it was before. And he called Shmuel, Shmuel. By Yom Shmuel, Shmuel answered, he said, Daber. He didn't say Daber Hashem. He said Daber. He wasn't sure it was Hashem. Ki Shomei Adecha. He didn't want to be arrogant and say, yeah, speak God. So he said, speak, whoever it is, speak. I'm listening. I'm your servant. V'lo Omar Daber Hashem. He didn't say Daber Hashem. So again, Tein L'chocham V'yech Kam Od. Once we had a drasha in Rus, so we'll have another drasha in Rus from Rabbi Eliezer. Batelech. She went and she went. So we have a double lashon over here. She vatelech vatovo, and she gathered the grains from the field. So I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Sheholcha uvos, holcha uvos." This double lashon over here comes to teach us a very important idea that she wasn't happy with the people that she was meeting up with. So she went over here until she found the right people to hang out with. Otherwise, you can end up being a terrible thing by hanging out with the wrong people. So she kept on moving and moving until she found nice people. Then it says further, Yomer Boaz Lenaro, Hanitzav al HaKotrim. Boaz told his servant in charge of the Kotrim, Lemian Arazos, who is this woman over here? So Gemara says, V'chidakosh Boaz, Lishol Benara, it's pastish, it's inappropriate for Boaz to ask about young women. So Amar Rulazah, another statement that Rulazah made, Devar Chachma Robo, he saw something very smart in her. Others have, instead of Devar Chachma, they bring down the gears over here from the Bach, he brings down Devar Halacha. He saw that she was very smart, or assured that she was a very halachic woman, because Shnei Shibolim Lekita. She took, when she saw that she was a poor person, she was allowed to take the leket. So if somebody left behind over here two grains, she's allowed to get them. But Shlosha, that's not called leaving behind. So if there were three Shibolim, ain't a Lekita. So he saw that she was a halachic woman. And Masnisa Tanan, the Brisa, we learned, the Vart Stias Rabbah. Alternatively, they saw she was very tsunua. How did he see she was very tsunua? Omdos, when she was collecting the grains that were still attached to the ground, they were standing up, so she would collect the mu'umat. But if they were falling on the ground, no flows, then she would sit down, Meyushav, rather than to bend over and act in a non-snias way. Oh, so he saw she was very tsunias. Another pasuk it says, Rabbi Loz is going to dash in it, V'chos Yid Bokin Im Narosai, Boaz said to Rus, you know, stay here with my women, with all the young ladies that I have. What are we talking about over here? The Boaz is going to be with these, stay here with my women. It doesn't make any sense. So given the Chaza, when he saw that Orpa left, Vatishak Orpa Lechamosa, and Orpa said goodbye to Naomi. Verus Dovkaba, this Lashon of Dovkaba, so Rashi explains, Omar Shri Liya Dabukeba, that he saw the Ruach HaKodesh, that he's allowed to go be Dovek with her. She is a righteous convert, and I can go and marry her. Another pasuk, Vayomala Boaz Lies Ochel Goshi Alom. Boaz said to her when they were eating, come over here, come close, Goshi Alom. So this is, again, Rashi says, this is the Ruach HaKodesh that was put into his mouth. Omer Belazar, Remez Ramazlo, he gave her a sign that Asida Malchus Beis David Lo Seis Mimech, that you are going to be the progenitor, the mother of all of Malchus Beis David. And how do we know that? Tichsid Be'alom, because here we use the pasuk Halom. Shenemar, Vayavo Melech David, Vayeshav Li Hashem. David came and was sitting before Hashem, Vayomer, Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim, Umi Beisi Kevi Osani Ad Halom. Who allows me to come near you, Hashem? Hashem, you tell me that I'm going to be Malchus Beis David. Whoa! So again, the Lashon Halom is alluded to when Boaz tells Ruth Halom. Another drasha of Tavalt Pitech Bachometz. You dip your bread over here, a little bit of bread that you have, into vinegar. So I'm going to loz dash this, not for a good thing. Mikan Shachometz Shofel Lishra. The first drasha is that you see that it was hot weather, so they told her to take a little vinegar in your bread. That's good. It's good for hot weather. Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni disagrees. Amar Rem is Ramaz Lo, a bad thing. Osid Bein Lo Seis Mimech Shemais of Koshin Kachometz. You're going to have a child that's going to come out of you who, unfortunately, is going to be a bad child. And it'll be like vinegar, like a bad vinegar. And he says, who is this? Umanu Menashe. This is the Melech Menashe, who, unfortunately, was the longest reigning king of Malchus Yudah, but he reigned for 55 years, but he wasn't a good king. Then another pasuk, Vatesha Mitzad HaKotzrim, she sat down next to all the Kotzrim. Amar Elazar, Elazar dashes this pasuk as well. Mitzad HaKotzrim, to the side of the Kotzrim, Elo Besach HaKotzrim, and not in the Kotzrim. Remez Ramaz Law, again, a negative allusion over here. Shasid the Machus Beit David, Shetizchalik, that unfortunately, Machus Beit David would eventually be split by the time after Shlomo Melech, when his son Rechavim, so Yeravim ben Nevat, split away from Rechavim, we had Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael, a very tragic point in Chai Yisrael's history. We continue darshing the Psukim. It says, Vayitz bot lo koli v'tochal, and Boaz gave to her some kolis, usually translated as like popcorn, or parched grains, and she ate from it. And then the pasuk continues, Vatizba v'tosar. So we darshing each of these three words. We start off first with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. He's been the one that's been bringing in all these psukim. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Vatochal" means "bimei David." She's going to eat in the days of David. "Vatispa" that is a reference to the allusion that she'll be satisfied in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. "Vatosar" bimei Chizkiyo, in the days of the great Chizkiyo HaMelech. So all of these great descendants of hers, she's going to get tremendous hanas, so to say, in the future from their actions. So this is an allusion to this in the pasuk. Ikadiyamre, alternatively, Ikadarshin Vatochal bimei David uvei Shlomo. The Tochal goes on David and Shlomo, and Vatizba, that's referring to Yimei Chizkiya, and Vatosar, that's a reference to bimei Rebbe, during the days of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, that he was so wealthy. The Amar, the pasuk says, Ahur Yare de Rebbe. Rashi explains that Ahuryare means the people that were in charge of his stable. Memuna al Hasusim upredos shalo, the one in charge of his horses and his donkeys, his mules. These are all, he's going to benefit from the manure that they all produce, and he'll become very, very rich. So even the person in charge of Rebbe's horses and animals, his donkeys, he's going to be asir, richer, mishvur malka, than the great king Shvur Malka. That's how rich Rebbe was. And that's the Vatosar. It means during the days of Rebbe, who was a descendant from Rusa Movia. In the Brice, we learn differently. But Masnisa Tana, Vatochal means Bolomazet, more homiletic type. Vatochal means in this world should be happy. Vatisba means Limos Mashiach, in the days of Mashiach. Vatosa means Laosid Lavo, in the time after Mashiach, and the Osid Lavo. Fine. Now we have another drasha. V'tachas kvodo yekad yekod kikod esh. Why is this drasha here? So a different number of different interpretations. The simplest one is that it's going to talk about clothing again. So therefore, we just talked about the importance of clothing. So that's why this is brought in. So, v'tachas kvodo yekad yekod kikod esh. It says, this is referring to the time when Sanherib came to attack Eretz Yisrael. He conquered most of Eretz Yisrael, but he was stymied at Yerushalayim. And in fact, he lost a huge amount of men, including 185,000 officers, and millions of his men died. And they died in a very unusual way, as we'll see. Everybody agrees that they died with a burning, and it burned their insides without burning their clothing. We have three different drushes over here. Amr of Yochanan. Amr Yochanan says, Vesachas kibodo. Here again, this is why this is brought in over here. Amr Yochanan says, they call this clothing Mechabodai. And that's why when the pasuk says over here v'sachas kivodo, it means lo kivodo mamish. It doesn't mean the actual body themselves, but it means underneath their clothing. Rabbi Yochanan taimei, the Rabbi Yochanan kar lemane mechabdusa. He called them the things that honor me. So therefore, he's saying that these soldiers got burned up underneath their clothing. The clothing didn't get burned. It wasn't a normal fire. It was a unique fire that was brought by the malachim. It says they sang shira and it went in through their noses and it burnt them on the inside, not on the outside. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar also darshans the same result, but through a different mechanism. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Vesachas Kivodo, he says, Tachas Kivodo Mamish. It means their body is called their Kivodo, and the fire was underneath their body, i.e. inside their body, but not on the outside of the body. Tachas Kivodo Mamish. So therefore, it comes to the same conclusion. They were burnt inside, a Sreifa inside, without burning their clothing or without burning their body. And similarly, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer, he says that this is tachas kivodo, means kisrefas bnei Aaron, just like the bnei Aaron were killed. Ma'alahal and srefas neshama v'guv kayim, just like there, that their internal soul was, so to say, burnt, but their bodies were left intact. So too, the same end result, but a different drasha. Afkan srefas neshama v'guv kayim. Here he says also their neshamas were burnt, the insides of them were burnt, but the bodies were intact. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. We conclude today's shir.